Ice Salam
Alaikum.
Ice Salam Alaikum. Welcome to Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This is your engineer for the day, Rashid Salam. Now let me bring you your host, Mark Shaheed. Good evening, Mark. How are you this morning? Afternoon.
Doing fine. Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. I'd like to greet our IWDM radio listening audience and our national and international audience with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, along with a very distinguished and esteemed co-host, co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Udin. And before I introduce her, those who may be aboard for the first time, we have some staple things that we have established on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that is, in following the lead of our beloved leader, Imam Warth Udin Muhammad, in definition is direction and also correction. So we give a very simplistic but a very profound definition of what parenting is. We say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that we have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that nurturing and cultivating all of these various components is only for the mother only. It is also a responsibility of the fathers. And we also have established as a staple here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that the role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And we say having that mindset and disposition in taking our parenting very serious as conscientious, God-conscious parents, that some world leaders will emerge from that way of thinking. And we also have established not only is the mother the first teacher after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the honor and distinction goes to the mother to be the first teacher, but not only the first teacher, but the first leader, not only for females, but also for males, and that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, which she will be the one first, given that distinction by Almighty God, Allah, to set the foundation for our children, both males and females. So with that being said, in terms of establishing some of these staples, this Learning Labs began back in 2017 in January. We're fast approaching our fifth anniversary now here on IWDM Radio. And I'm so honored to have as our very distinguished co-host and co-facilitator, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, it's Wednesday night, and I always get very, very excited on Wednesday night in terms of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I think it's so needed and necessary, so I get kind of amped up on Wednesday night, and particularly in having the honor of working with you in this learning lab. And one of the things I want to say just before I go to you for the give us an overview, I want to thank Najwa Abdul Tawab last week for doing an excellent job, and always on the first Wednesday of the month, doing an outstanding job and disseminating a lot of great information. I want to say to those of you who are listening for the first time, this is your learning lab where you learn what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct a destructive family life. And we say that the Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad and the demonstration of the Quran, and the tafsir, the clear explanation of Imam W.D. Muhammad, is the foundation for this learning lab, but also for the courtship and marriage learning lab. And we have been working out of the publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell. It's an excellent publication on the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. Just want to just say briefly to those who may be tuning in for the first time, we'll be on the 20th, which is teachability of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. But some of those qualities, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, that we have covered in the past 2 years on the sister station, AM 360 Radio, we began with character, and we moved from character to charisma, from charisma to commitment, from commitment to communication, from communication to competence, from competence to courage, from courage to discernment, from discernment to focus, from focus to generosity, from generosity to initiative, from initiative to listening, how important that is, from listening to passion. Number 13 is positive attitude. 14, problem solving. Very important to have that quality and characteristic. 15, relationship. 16, responsibility. 17, security. 18, self-discipline. 19, we have a servanthood. And now we're here on 20, which is teachability. And then we'll have one left, and that would be the 21st one, which is vision. And I'm quite sure as I read your listening audience and you, Dr. Salahuddin, as you hear me rattle those off, I have to remember all those in my head, is that all of these qualities are essential, needed, and necessary to be an effective leader for our young people, first and foremost, in their life and their family life and community life. And we believe that if, in fact, we have conscious parents that understand that and raising our children up with these qualities, that we can produce some world leaders. So with that being said, we always have overviews for those who may have missed the previous production of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So at this time, I turn it over to our very distinguished co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Mark. Thank you very much. And you have a fantastic memory. I hope you're doing classes on how to memorize, as we should all benefit.
I have no choice, Dr. Salahuddin. I have no choice but to remember.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of teaching, of having teachability, is the title for our overview for episode number 6, August 4th, 2021. From the beginning, man is taught to learn and understand, starting as a clot of congealed blood, the human being began to learn and grow in the womb. God creates this greatness in every human being, regardless of race, creed, or color. As the physical formation takes place, so does the invisible formation, where the faculties and the capacity to learn develop. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that out of all the creation, the most beneficial was the human brain, and this is often translated as the intellect. After birth, the father whispers the Adhan call to prayer in the child's ear. This is the first opportunity for parents to teach the child after birth. Parents must be conscious of the kind of home life that they provide for their child. Human beings were all created in the most excellent mode but unfortunately, when children leave their homes and enter into learning institutions, they lose that sense of curiosity, that spirit of questioning the world around them. That is taken away from them. To avoid this happening to children, parents must be present in the schools, physically and spiritually. Parents must teach their children about Allah, and the school should be an extension of the home in that community. The school is not a place where children are dropped off. Parents and teachers must communicate for the benefit of the child. The educators should see their role as the one to bring out the best that Allah has put into the child and of all human beings. An important way parents can cultivate teachability in children is by teaching them to connect to creation. In studying creation, children can be directed to identify similarities and ask the question, what can I do that this creature cannot do? In exploring that question, one can teach children responsibility. A very important thing about teachability is that parents and grandparents should teach children their purpose. Everything has a purpose. What is our purpose? Are we seeking gratification, or are we taking care of things within the home, such as property, clothing? And as Muslims, are we taking care of the space in which we make prayer? Teaching responsibility will give children the tools to move from one level to the next. They will also learn how to think and reflect, as the Prophet did when he went to the cave of Hijra. He would think and reflect on the environment and the society that he lived in. Children should be given time to think and reflect. They should be given wait time to think about questions that they are asked. Questions trigger thought in children's minds. Parents should begin to utilize thought-provoking questions and give the child a time to reflect and explore responses to those questions. And to avoid confrontation with that child who knows it all, let the child go ahead and respond with questions to solve the problem. Give them opportunity to do problem solving by giving them an opportunity to argue their point and the best of argument, with using the best of argument. Take that as a teachable moment. Teach children about the influence of society. Sorry, lost my place here. Teach children about the influence of society, things that they will see in the grocery store or on television. Be present so you can help them process what they are hearing and seeing. And how do we teach? Using the acronym of IDEA, IDEA, I represents instruction. Children are given instructions from many directions, but the best instructions are those instructions coming from the Quran. Designed for the construction of human life. D represents demonstration. The first demonstration of how to live is given by the parent. Parenting is a process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral and the emotional development, the rational and the morality in rationality and the intellect, and the morality in the intellect. The adab represents the social creature and the spiritual creature. Children should see the qualities and characteristics that were modeled by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the first social unit, which is the family. E represents experience. Life experience is necessary in learning. Some people grow through life and others go through life. A represents assessment. Being able to assess the experience of life is very important to growth and development of a child. Instructions and assessment go hand in hand. Too often, children are assessed on what they do not know. Education is to bring out what people put in them, not what we put in them. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Education is to bring out what God put in them, not what we put in them. People who care about community and care about children should make sure that we are doing assessment correctly. Assessment is judgment, knowing what's right and what's wrong. Using the prophet's method of assessment, one will make assessment a private affair to avoid embarrassment. Understand that Allah alone is the judge. We should constantly pray and seek help from Allah that we are doing things in the best way, that we are being the role model for our children. Imam, we ask questions. We ask ourselves, what is the criteria? What are we using for a judgment? For what are we preparing children? We should be preparing them to know that their purpose in life is to praise and worship and obey Allah alone. Imam Muhammad advised that we as parents and community should be building a community that give children the installation that they need at whatever time or stage they need it. Education is a sacred matter. And the first revelation to Prophet Muhammad emphasized education. The role of the Khalifa is to be the caretaker and responsible and to be responsible for the earth. All humans have the property of Khalifa. The collective purpose, as stated in the Quran, jinn and man have been created to worship Allah alone. So Tanejwa left our audience with this statement. Always have faith in Allah. Faith gives humans the confidence in being a leader and a stronger bond with Allah and his creation. Thank you, Mark. Back to you.
I say takbir, Allahu Akbar. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Excellent part, excellent overview. Very, very substantive. I almost want to say to the radio listening audience, if you should always bring a pen and pad to the learning lab, both learning labs, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. As you just heard, Dr. Patricia Slow, the Dean, give a very, very in-depth, very substantive information that we have disseminated on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Just on the 20th or the 21, indispensable qualities of a leader, which is teachability, very excellent. And so hopefully you took some good notes, and we want to say that this is your learning lab. So we do encourage you to press 1. Any questions or comments that you have, we also encourage you to bring it to the lab. You can go to that, we have an email address set up, bring it to the lab at .com. You can bring it to the lab there. Also Instagram, bring it to the lab. Any questions or comments that you'd like to make, any suggestions for any topics that you'd like to hear on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, you can utilize those venues for that. And I do hear some, like, tick-tock there. I'll see if my engineer can locate that, if a mic has to be closed or what, to reduce that sound, as we want to have a clean, crisp broadcast that will be in the archives, so like a little tick-tock. It's saying like a stop now. So alhamdulillah, it's a little distracting there. So, you know, tonight, with that very extensive substantive overview that you gave, Dr. Salahuddin, we want to go and look at somewhat at the book here that Dr. Charles C. Maxwell have crafted in terms of teachability, some excellent things that he actually have in there. You know, I remember when I was a boy coming up, and I remember my seventh grade teacher, Dr. Slaudine, Mr. Hudson. I still remember his name. So you know he must have left a profound imprint on me. He once asked the class, why do you think, and this, he used the word creator. He said, why do you think the creator gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth? Did nobody answer the question? I was considered to be one of the smarter children in the school, I mean the class there, and they kind of looked at me. I didn't know the answer either, so I didn't raise my hand. And my mother said, if you know the answer, raise your hand. If you don't, you know, and if you don't understand instructions, then you should raise your hand. But I didn't raise my hand. So after about a 30-second pause, he asked the question again. Why do you think the creator gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth? And once again, nobody raised a hand, and I didn't raise my hand either, because the last thing you want to do is to answer a question and be wrong. And sometimes children would just laugh at you if you got something wrong. So I wanted to spare myself the embarrassment. So Mr. Hudson raised his own hand, and he says, well, he says, I guess I have to answer my own question. He said, what the creator intended for you to do is to do twice as much listening as you do talking. He said, because only when you talk, you repeat what you know. But when you listen, perchance, you may get to learn something that you didn't know, so that when you talk again, you'll have more to say. And boy, that resonated with me in the seventh grade. So, you know, I've been letting that marinate in my mind for a long time. And so it was so much wisdom that Mr. Hudson shared with us. But in Dr. John C. Maxwell, a book, he really underscores that pretty much in terms of the importance of listening. And to relate it, Dr. Slaudine, when I coined the acronym in terms of looking at parent, the qualities and characteristics, when we got to E, empathic listening, which is the highest form of listening, so very, very important. And this is something that a leader, you remember now, this is a quality that we want to instill in our children, empathic listening, whereas that you understand what one is actually saying, or what their thoughts are and what they're saying, but also you're in tune with their feelings. Dr. Slaudine, how important is that in terms of being teachable, the teachability being teachable, and as our children grow up, that they keep and maintain this needed and necessary essential quality? Dr. Slaudine.
Being able to listen, to emphatically listen to anyone, to another person, gives you an opportunity to identify with what they're saying. It gives you an opportunity to process what they're saying and to respond to them in a responsible way, or to respond to them in a way that's going to be helpful to them. Because if you're a type of person that care about your community, you care about people that you work with, or care about people that you are responsible for or to, you want to be connected to them. You want to have the right response for them. So as an educator, when I'm in the classroom and I'm listening to my students, I'm listening for a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons that I'm listening is to, how can I help my student? What can I do for this child? You know, if he comes to me with a problem, I want to listen with a mind of an open mind, of course, a mind that's not judgmental, and a mind that is allowing me to absorb what he's saying, and then he or she, absorb what the student is saying, and then taking that information and using it to benefit the student. As a parent, when I'm listening to my children, even as adults, I want to listen with an open mind, and then, because my children do come to me sometimes with problems that need a solution, and I listen, and I I listen to see what can I bring into this conversation, or how can I respond to them in a way that it is reminding them of who is in charge of our lives. And that's important to me when I'm talking to my children. When I taught, I didn't bring that into the conversation because I taught in a public school. But when I'm talking to my children or anyone else in my community, I always want to bring what Allah has stated in the Quran that's related to what they're saying. And that's a reminder that we have to depend on Allah. We do not have all of the answers, that we have to depend on for whatever it is that we are struggling with or whatever we're enjoying. We have to appreciate Allah, show our appreciation for those things that we are enjoying. What we are struggling with or what we need help with, we do have to depend on Allah. So I listen for that. So how can I respond in such a way that I can share with them what I know, share with them what Allah has told us, or share with them whatever guidance that Allah has given us, and that will benefit them and help them.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's some good information, you understand, as parents or as a teacher. And parents should see themselves as teachers and also leaders. So great information. I want to say to the radio listening audience, if you have any questions or comments, all you have to do is just press 1, and engineer Rashid Salam will notify me that you're in the queue. Put your hand up, and of course, I know you're going to hear some good things tonight. You may have already got some little jewels, and you might just want to respond how much is resonating with you, and you can do that by pressing 1. Dr. Salahuddin and myself would love to hear from you. Dr. Salahuddin, I know that you have taken some notes or highlighted some of the information in Dr. John C. Maxwell's book in terms of teachability. So at this time, if you would like to share something that really caught your attention that you think could be very, very beneficial to those who are listening in to this Learning Lab on teachability and its importance and how they may be able to nurture that particular quality that can be nurtured and cultivated in our young people. Dr. Salahuddin.
Yes, Mark. Mr. Maxwell gave us guidelines to help us to cultivate and maintain a teachable attitude his book is related to adults, but we take this information and we see how we use it for our we use it in helping our students, our children, to develop. One of the things he said is cure your destination disease. And in stating,
I like the way he phrased that. Cure your destination disease. Yes.
His description of that is, ironically, lack of teachability is often rooted in achievement. Some people mistakenly believe that if they can accomplish a particular goal, they no longer have to grow. It can happen with almost anything, earning a degree, reaching a desired position, receiving a particular award, or achieving a financial goal. And he said that, but effective leaders cannot afford to think that way. The day they stop growing is the day they forfeit their potential and the potential of the organization. Remember the words of Ray Kroc: as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you start to rot. I thought that was an interesting quote.
Yes.
It reminded me of children who will say, when your children get to be young adults, they will tell you, "I'm grown," right? I don't know if you ever heard that, but young
people. How many times?
So I heard it one time too many. So when I heard it that particular time, I said, well, you know, anybody that's grown is dead. Because as long as you're living, you are growing. But once you stop, you are dead. So most people in the people who are grown, they're usually in the graveyard. So I don't hear that word, that statement anymore from that particular person.
So what you're saying, Dr. Slowdean, this is something that you actually said to your children and teaching them in terms of making the distinction between being grown and growing, or is this something that you have taught to students down through the years?
No, it was my own, one of my children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I didn't teach this to the kids. What I will say in regards to this statement, cure your destination disease, Imam Muhammad identifies that to properly grow yourself, you must grow, and he identifies three elements, fundamental elements for growth, morally, mm-hmm. intellectually, and spiritually. And these
yes.
are three fundamental elements of growth for the human makeup. Now, we must teach our children that growing is a continuous aspect of life. For the child's early years, the parent is teaching the child what is right and what is wrong or not acceptable or not beneficial to the individual self, what is or what is not pleasing to our Creator. These concepts are instilled and cultivated in the child from birth or at the appropriate age of understanding. Intellectually, we are teaching them to read, and therefore we are able to, and before they are able to read, we read to them. Books are part of the development, of developing the intellect, and some parents take this element very seriously. Now, with the technology, books are not the only source for knowledge. We have other sources as well, but we want to be very careful that we don't allow children too much screen time. That's not good for them. Spiritually, mm-hmm. children are growing based on how much spiritual teachings we expose them to. So mm-hmm. what method of strategies are we using to help them to develop their spiritual self? So when we talk about our cure your destination disease, we have to realize that in order to teach our children teachability, they have to learn from the very early age, from very early stages of their life, that they are constantly growing. And so we don't wait
yes.
until they become teenagers to teach them about growth. If we start mm-hmm. when they're very, very young, when we start to instill in them the elements of growth, teaching mm-hmm. them the moral development, intellectual and spiritual development when they're young, and that's
mm-hmm.
as young as when they're babies, we can start teaching them.
Yes.
Then we won't worry about that when they become mm-hmm. Teenagers, even middle school, high school. We don't have to
mm-hmm.
worry so much about because we've started the process early on. And that's what I thought
yes.
about that when I saw that. So, you know, we shouldn't wait until they're older. We should start very early working on them understanding what growth is and what that means, and that
yes.
this is something that's continuous.
Yes. Yes, alhamdulillah. Excellent. I agree with you wholeheartedly, as we have talked in previous learning labs in terms of the stages that all of our children go through. You know, they go through the imprinting stage. And one of the first teachings that the mother actually gives to not only the girls but the boys is moral teachings. This is foundational. This is part of the teachings for the formative years in helping to shape and form our children in right and wrong. You know, we go back to the Quran again, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 16, Ayah 78, it is He, Allah, that has brought you forth from the wombs of your mother, knowing nothing. You know, but it's He who gives you hearing. He gives you seeing. He gives you intelligence, and He gives you affection, sensitivity, that you may be thankful and grateful. These are faculties and capacity, faculties and the capacity to be able to learn. So, you know, as we teach our children in terms of things that can be harmful or detrimental to them, you know, the intelligence that Allah has given to them, we want them to have the moral intelligence. We want them to have emotional intelligence, social intelligence. All of these particular components are very, very important in the growth and development, the maturation. And I love what you said, you know, to one of your children in terms of grown, in terms of I have fully grown. As long as you're living, it's a process. You're constantly growing and growing and growing. And so Allah has said that to us. Never can you exhaust His knowledge. You know, never can you exhaust that. It's continuous. So we always should put ourselves and see ourselves as teachable, as learners, as students, you know. And I like the way Dr. Maxwell has coined this in terms of curing your destination disease, because as a wordologist, I like to use the word accomplishment. And the acronym for accomplishment is actually conquering your challenges and overcoming mental poverty literally indicates success happening. That's accomplished. But ments at the end, plural, is meeting expectations numerous times successfully. So when we look at accomplishments, we're actually conquering challenges. Okay? Very, very important. Question. Is there a point in time in life when we no longer have any challenges? I'm just asking that as a rhetorical question to our radio listening audience. I do ask that you press 1 and participate. Is there a time in our life where we don't have challenges? So when we look at this word accomplishments, you know, as Dr. Salahuddin was referencing Dr. John C. Maxwell's book, in looking at this actually being sometimes detrimental, and especially when we reach goals, destination, we think and feel as though that's the end. No need to actually learn. I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I posed the question to you, Dr. Salahuddin, in terms of having a PhD degree, but even you said, hey, that wasn't the end of learning. You're still learning. So actually, actually conquering challenges. And then the next 3 letters is overcoming mental poverty. This is a biggie when we start talking about accomplishment, because whenever we hear poverty, we should be thinking about unproductive, being unproductive, not realizing your full potential mentally. And so Allah has given the human being, as the prophet has said, has given him the most useful and beneficial thing that he has created. Nothing else in creation has the akal. The akal, sometimes translated as the human brain, but oftentimes is translated as the intellect. To be able to engage this natural creation and continuously grow and grow and grow and grow in knowledge and insight. as to what Allah has created. This is one of the ways and means that Allah teaches his human creation. So overcoming mental poverty, that means that in the past people have said that you don't have the ability nor the capacity to learn, let them know what it is Allah has created. And so we want to utilize it, you understand, to benefit ourselves, our family, community, and also for the world. And this literally indicates that success is happening. So this is one of the ways to measure or gauge that success is happening. But it's an ongoing thing. And then finally, meeting expectations numerous times successfully. Very, very important. There's expectations. And Allah has expectations of his human creation. And parents, we should express to our children that we have expectations, not in terms of a career or anything of that nature, but the expectation that because God has created you in the best of mold, that you will always give and do your best. Very, very important. So want to say to our radio listening audience, we love for you to chime in, and you can do that by pressing 1. If you have a question or comment, or you just want to let Dr. Slaw Dean and myself know that some of the things that we're saying tonight is actually resonating with you in terms of looking at the 20th or the 21 essential qualities of a leader and these type of qualities that should be exemplified in our children as they grow up, which is teachability. So go to our engineer, Rashid Salam. We got anybody in the queue with their hands up, want to ask a question or make a comment?
Not at this time, Mark. You know, I'm just in here resonating and sucking it all in myself. So I understand why they haven't raised their hand. Okay.
You can see why they haven't raised
their hand.
Well, we want to encourage them to raise their hand because they may not have a question. You may not have a question, and you may feel like you can't add anything to what Dr. Slaw Dean has said or even the little I have given tonight. But one thing all of you can do is you can press 1 if it's resonating with you and you think this is good information. I know you can do that. And, of course, Dr. Slaw Dean and myself would love to hear from you. So, Dr. Slaw Dean, you know, as you highlight things in this outstanding publication in terms of teachability. Oh, what was that, Rashid?
No, I was just saying, I got a page full of notes, that's all. Go ahead.
Well, we got a page full of notes. Okay. So, alhamdulillah. So, any time you have a question or comment, even engineer, we invite him to ask the question or make a comment or, you know, anything that we're saying tonight. So, Dr. Slaw Dean, I mean, as you have taken some notes and highlighted some things, anything else jumps out at you in terms of this publication on teachability?
Yes, Mark, you were talking about success. And so the next guideline that he gives in terms of teachable attitude is overcome your success. And he's talking about success. And he says that another irony of teachability is that success often hinders it. Effective leaders know that what got them there doesn't keep them there. If you have been successful in the past, beware and consider this. If what you did yesterday still looks big to you, you haven't done much today. So
I love that. Well, you know, it's kind of like Dr. Slaw Dean is like you can't rest on your laurels. And we often hear, you know, in today's society, what have you done for me lately? You know.
Yeah, that would be a good question for that one. I think with the success the problem with success is that we would need to redefine success. And especially for our children, we need to make sure that when we're teaching them and we're talking about success, because we do use that word. Well, you go to school, yes. You get a good education, you'll be successful. So what does that mean? Does that mean you'll be wealthy? Does that mean that achieving a high level of education, is that success? A political status, a success? You know, we have to ask that question. What does success mean? And I think once a person has the correct definition of success or the right perspective of success, then that will not be a hindrance to them, because they would know that success is our ability to serve God in the right manner. The ones that the best of us are the ones doing that, right? Serving Allah in the best manner. That's success. So
that's right.
if we're striving to do that, we know we can't. That's a constant activity. And so there's something you could just wait. Oh, I done that. I did that. You know, I made my prayers today. I don't have to make my prayers anymore. No,
right.
That's not how it works. So we want to understand success, and we define success in the terms of for our children. We define it for our children, and as I said earlier, beginning from early and our early in the early stages of development, when we're teaching them about the religion, we're teaching them their purpose in life. As mentioned earlier in the episode, last episode, the purpose is that Allah has created the invisible beings and man to any other than they may know and worship me. And that's Quran, Surah 51, Ayat 56. So we know what our purpose is. And once we know our purpose, we know what success is. And once we know what success is, then there's no limit. You know, there's no saying that we've achieved it. We've got it and not doing anything
else. That's right. As I was listening to you, Dr. Salahuddin, you make a very interesting point as you referenced the Quran, Surah 51, 56, that God says that he has not created the jinn, nor the ints. The ints being that human nature that has not come into contact with the world. You know, while the baby is in the mother's womb, this is referred to as the ints, the purity of the nature that God has created this human being. And God is saying to us, that he has not created for any other purpose than to worship and serve him. That becomes the overall goal for God-conscious people, right-minded people. That message need to be instilled in our young people early on. Now, but God also says in the Quran, you know, as Imam Muhammad, you know, teaches us from in the Quran, to each, God says, I have given them a goal to each. So each one of us have a goal. My goal may not be the same as your goal. Your goal may not be the same as Rashid Salam's goal, or Imam Shuaib's goal, or Fitr Muhammad's goal. But nevertheless, it is a goal, because Allah has deposited something very unique and special in all of us. So when we have children, we have to understand that God has already deposited something in them particularly and uniquely that's theirs, but it has to be uncovered and discovered. So this will be specifically, purposely, how they will serve, but the overall goal is the same as you referenced, but it will be in terms of worshiping and serving God. And Imam Muhammad said, for his purpose. So we see that Allah has given certain things, some certain things just jump out at you early on in a child's life. I mean, the skill, the ability, the talent, the gift that they have. It's almost like their gift is already unwrapped. But then there are some gifts that Allah gives to his human creation that has to be unwrapped. And, in established here, yeah, I started back up the workshop of Words Make People. And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't give this particular acronym, since we're talking about success, its framework for our young people. We know how we spell success, which is S-U-C-C-E-S-S. Well, that first S represents see your goal. See your goal. You can't reach anything until you see your goal. And we reference this with the Quran, as Allah has said, to each is goal, I turn each to a goal. So we have to see our goal. And some of our children are so multitasking. I had this conversation today with a friend, multi-talented thing. Sometimes I have a difficulty in terms of what it is that I want to choose. But very, very important as they grow up, we should always continuously question our children, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? You know, and establish that, our life is for Allah. To serve Allah. But there's so many different ways that Allah needs nothing from us. So when we serve Allah, we will be serving another human being, human beings. This is very important for our young people to know. This is how the human creation serves Allah. Allah is independent of everything. So even when we pray, it doesn't increase Allah, nor does it diminish Allah. Allah is as he is. But then the prayers help us. When we fast, the same thing. When we give zakat, same thing. When we make hajj, same thing. All the things that is that we do, we benefit from doing those things. So the U, I'm going to go very quickly. The U is understand the obstacles. Understand the obstacles. If it was so easy to get from point A where you at to point B where you want to be, or A where who you are to B who you want to become, everybody would be able to get there. So understand there's going to be obstacles. And at some point we'll take this on in the learning lab and I'll go a little bit deeper. Understand there's going to be obstacles. And that first C is clear your mind of self-doubt. Now, who is it that puts doubt in the minds of human beings? This is the shaitan. He doesn't discriminate. Not only in terms of males and females, adult males and females, but even children. So we want to make sure that our children clear their mind of self-doubt. This is an impoverished mind that has doubt, and the word doubt keeps you out. And the word doubt is out, it keeps you out. And then the second C is create a positive mental picture. You can't be it. We should tell our children, you can't be it until you see it. And Allah has given to us the ability of imagination. Take note, Dr. Sloan Dean, so that I'll come back to that next week and explain it a little bit further. Imagination. Create a positive mental picture. And all people that are successful, they see it before they be it and can actually accomplish it. And then the E stands for embrace your challenges. Embrace your challenges. Don't run from challenges. We said accomplishment is actually conquering challenges. You want to be victorious, and Allah wants us to be victorious. And he said that in the Quran. The believers will be what? You see? So we just make those connections like Imam Muhammad has taught us. And then the first of the two last is stay on track or stay focused. And the acronym for focus is follow one course until successful. And that course, of course, is the course of Al-Islam for us. And then finally, the last S is, and this always has to end up, whatever it is that we learn from this way of life for ourselves and for our children and our grandchildren and on, is to show ourselves and the world that we can do it. See, Allah created us to be successful, but we have to be able to show ourselves and the world that we can do it. So I'm going to stop with that, Dr. Slaweddin, because we have about two and a half, maybe 3 minutes here at the top of the hour. And anything that you would like to add to that or that you would like to close out with for our radio listening audience on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, please do.
Oh, yes, Mark. Thank you. What you just said was quite profound. I think that you have written a book, or you're going to write this book soon, because you could have been well.
Well, Imam Fahim got me writing. He got me on this book, and all of this will be, inshallah, will be in the book of words. An acronym, so yes, it will be in the book, inshallah. Yes.
Okay. Then, what I wanted to leave the audience is that next week we definitely will be finishing up these last two guidelines, and inshallah, we will be able to share some jewels with you. May Allah continue to bless you and your families as you strive to raise them and to guide them, and all our directions are in the Quran for us, and it's a blessing that we are here, and it's a blessing from Allah that He has sent to us, revealed to us His revelation through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thank you, Mark, for inviting me to be your host. Thank you.
Oh yeah, well, alhamdulillah, and I want to thank. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost for you accepting to host this production and help facilitate it. You're doing an outstanding job, so I want to thank you here on National Radio, how much I appreciate you and the knowledge and the wisdom that you bring each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And I want to extend the greetings of peace to you, Dr. Patricia Slaweddin of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. So there you have it. In the first hour here on IWDM is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. With Dr. Patricia Slaweddin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. So we hope that you took some good notes and that you have a few gold nuggets, and we would love for you to look at this as your learning lab. Bring your questions to the lab, comments to your lab, any recommendations. We also would like to hear from you in regards to that. And so I want to just say before we go to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, I want to invite you to tune in to the Sister Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio every Thursday night, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Principal Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, there in Atlanta, Georgia. She joins me every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM. Want to say that we use Al-Quran, the demonstration of revelation in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the tafsir, the clear explanation of both, led by Imam W. Dean Muhammad as our foundation. And we're working on the textbook that was crafted by Akila Nafisa Rashid in Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And she's using the word ripple as an acronym in terms of principles, but also chapters under those principles. I want to say that tune in tomorrow as we'll have a special guest facilitator, one of our very scholarly, learned imams, my good brother and friend, Imam Fahim Shoaib, will be joining us tomorrow right here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. So make sure that you tune in. And that call-in number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673 for tuning in to IWDM Radio. And just before we come back, I want to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbi al-Alamin, Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bye-bye. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served or worship except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. Further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation to the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. We always like to invite very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and bring topics that are pertinent to us as a community, as you hear each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio, and no less today, as I have as a very distinguished guest. We have Fitra Muhammad, who is the founder and the director of Study Al-Islam, to be with us here. And also Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, as we know that he is a holistic doctor, but also he's an imam and the sectional convener, the Atlantic sectional convener, once was a columnist in the Muslim Journal and also radio talk show host on AM 360 radio. And I believe that we might have Amatullah Yamini with us also, who is the chairperson of the board there in Washington, D.C., the nation's mosque, with us. So at this time, I'd like to extend the greetings to my special guests here at the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay. I want to say welcome to the MGM Roundtable. It seemed like I heard three voices there. And just do a little roll call here. Sister Yamini, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. I know it's your first time and being with us, so welcome. And Fitra Muhammad, you with us?
I am, Brother Mark. I'm so I am here. Thank you for inviting us.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, yeah, I want to, you know, welcome you. It's an honor to have you with us. And my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, are you with us?
Mark, I am. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm looking forward to this hour.
Yes, alhamdulillah, I am too. I'm honored to have all of you with me here. And, you know, I just want to just start out by saying that come August the 21st, there is a special event that will be happening that is virtual. You know, I'm going to start with you, Sister Yamini. You may not know me so well, but I've been in this community a long, long time, right at about 54 years. And through my recollection, that what is about to take place on August the 21st is the first time that I think that this has actually been done. And actually, I always listen in to the production of Study Al-Islam, which is an excellent production, each and every week. And I heard about what was going to be done. And the idea, it's a remarkable idea and all. And Allah put it on my heart and spirit, that how is it that I can actually help this, and so that it gets as much exposure as it possibly can, as Imam Muhammad has said, that we should work for the good in our community. And I see this as a great idea. And you being the chairperson of the board there in the nation's mosque there in Washington, D.C., I want to start with you, Sister Yamini, in terms of would you kind of tell the people a little something about yourself, a couple of minutes, and then how this actually developed, Sister Yamini. And welcome again. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much. Wa alaikum salam. And first, before I share a little bit about myself, I'd like to clear up, you know, what I represent so we're not confused. It's not, I'm the president of the board of directors for W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center in Greensboro, North Carolina. It would be an honor to be the president of the board of the nation's mosque, but I'm not.
Well, I don't want to give you a title that you don't have. So, alhamdulillah.
No. Thanks. The responsibility and the work.
So
that's right.
Well, it's a big responsibility in Greensboro as it would be in the nation's mosque. Well, I'm quite sure.
Yes, sir. So, just a little bit about myself. I'm retired from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, selling real estate right now, but my heart and soul is in our community, doing our work. And with that being said, the W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center was a dream for us here in Greensboro to have a place that dignified, you know, who we are, come African-American Muslim, and coming under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad and having the experience of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's who we are. And we just wanted a place that spoke to the Imam's life and what he dedicated himself to and what he wanted to see while he was here. So inshallah, we across the country are all making efforts to honor what he has done to bring us knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So there were a few sisters that had come together with an idea to purchase a 32,000 square foot building. It was a former Methodist church. It was Bessemer United Methodist Church. But just before I go there, let me say that Dr. Nuruddin, his wife, Sister Connie, myself, Sister Janaki, Abdullah, and a few others had been, you know, kind of saving a few dollars here and there, saying we need a better place. We need a bigger place. We need something else. And so, you know, we saved a little bit of money, and then along came this property. You know, we saw it on what you call LoopNet. I don't know how many know about LoopNet. That's a commercial site that advertises all kind of commercial properties. And so my background with HUD and real estate, what have you, so that's where I knew where to go. So there was this property on the market there for $425,000. It needed a ton of work, a ton of work. And so then the tornado hit in East Greensboro. It seems like it was East Greensboro only where the Senate is located. It blew a lot of the windows out. It did some damages to the building. And I would say that they're in front of the building, and hopefully one day, inshallah, you'll get a chance to see what I'm about to describe to you. In the middle of the front lot is a Liberty Bell that's encased in brick. Right beside it was another encasement that said, in brick, that said Bessemer United Methodist Church. And all around it were hedges and azalea bushes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I kid you not, knocked down the sign that said Bessemer United Methodist Church, knocked down all the telephone poles, and left the hedges and the azaleas there. And so it was something for your heart to actually
So that's excellent background, you know, for our radio listening audience actually know in terms of actually being blessed to have this this 32,000 square foot building, and to my recollection, it is called the Imam W. Dean Muhammad Community Center.
It's W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center.
Islamic Center. Now, before I go to Fitcher and Imam Dr. Nuruddin, so as the president of the board of directors there in Greensboro, I'm very interested in terms of the idea, the concept. You know, as I look at this event, a lot of those people that I'm hearing that I really know, mostly all of these people personally, or have had them on my show at some point of time in past years or what. How did you come about that? And I think it's a remarkable idea, concept. I've never known our community to do something like this. So if you could, very succinctly, if you would, respond to that, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to respond to that quickly. You know, our sister Fitra is a visionary, and this was one of her visionary ideas that she came to us with. It's absolutely extraordinary. And so I'm going to let her explain to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
This concept came from our dear sister Fitra.
Alhamdulillah. I think, Sister Yamini, I'm not really surprised or shocked, you know, and I like the fact that you see her as a visionary. And, you know, I was just the previous program, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and I just said to our radio listening audience that Allah gives all of us collectively a goal, which is actually to worship and serve Him. But
Amen.
Also Allah gives us an individual goal that He has turned us to. But not only does He give us the goal, but He also gives us everything that it is that we need. So the specialties, the talent, the uniqueness, and what it is, the gifts that God gives to us, we oftentimes see. So our beloved Sister Fitra for many, many, many years have been doing this and with Study Al-Islam and thinking and really getting the most outstanding intellects in our community, as we have here. Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin has been a part of that, and many, many others have been a part of that. I'm not really surprised in that. And then asking those type of questions and topics, lifetime topics, questions that other people would want to ask, and Allah blesses her with that. And I just think it's remarkable the people that are lined up to actually share a narrative in terms of their relationship with our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. So, Fitra,
yeah,
was this inspirational? What? When? How? Talk to me, Fitra. Did this come to you, the idea, concept?
I attended. First of all, thank you for having us to come on and talk about the August 21st fundraising event for Greensboro, North Carolina, W.D. Muhammad Islamic Center. I attended an event, a business conference in Greensboro. It was my first time ever being in Greensboro. I'm not a Southern person. I'm from, you know, the North, North New Jersey. And I attended an event, and I experienced from Sister Amatala and the other sisters that she named such Southern hospitality. And I just could not shake the kind of reception and that they gave to the attendees, first of all, the kind of service, the kind of the warmth and kindness that I had not felt in a lot of masjids that I have visited all over. And so when and then I took a tour of the building. The building is magnificent. It needs some work, but the work that the community there has done, it's a very small, dedicated community. And when Sister Matala shared with me about the work that they were trying to do, the renovations, the upgrades, to bring the center up to become a prime location for conferences and retreats, I felt the obligation to help. And so the inspiration really came from that community and the fact that they had named the center after Imam Muhammad. You know, Imam Muhammad said we need to learn how to connect the dots. I just connected the dots. And
yes.
I connected the dots based on what I, the warmth that she and Sister Connie, Dr. Nuruddin's wife, Sister Connie, Sister
mm-hmm.
Donna, there's many of them who greeted us and invited us to the Greensboro, North Carolina community.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah, so that's wonderful. You know, we're one community, and, you know, I just know how important it is. And what our leader wanted us to do is to work together to help each other. And so such a wonderful concept or idea in terms of more like a memorial honorary production came out of this here, Fitra. Before I go to Imam Nuruddin, coming out of this, you know, this is going to be, the way I see this is going to be priceless. This is going to be priceless. You know, when I look at the list of people that have already signed up to be participants and all, before I go to Dr. Nuruddin, I want to give opportunity early on, and then we'll come back to it again in terms of how the radio listening audience, as this goes out nationally and internationally, how they can actually register. And to my knowledge, this is free registration to be able to tune in and listen in. Fitra, can you give us a little information on that?
I can. So they can go to studyalislam.com and to register. The flyer is there. They can send myself, Fitra, at msn.com, an email. I can send them a flyer. Sister Amatala, it is on their website as well. She can give the website
yes.
number. And but I want to just say this, Mark, and then I will get more information while you're talking to Dr. Nuruddin as to where people can register. This conference is to remind us, there's about 20 speakers. It is to remind us of the words and the leadership of Imam Muhammad. And Dr. Nuruddin, Amatul, and myself were talking, and Dr. Nuruddin can talk more about this. It comes right before the national conveners, which Dr. Nuruddin is a member of. And the national conveners will be putting on an event. But this event comes as an inspiration to all of our community to remind us of the leadership, the vision, and what Imam Muhammad saw for us. And that is the purpose of this, is to remind us of his words and what he saw being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and influenced by Prophet Muhammad and building a model community in Medina, which is what we're trying to do. So now I am going to get out of the way so you can speak with Dr. Nuruddin.
Oh,
no,
don't get out of the way. Just if you want to dig for some more information, we'll come back to you. So now we're going to go to our very esteemed Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin. Once again, welcome to the Airways IWDM and the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Nuruddin.
Thank you, Mark. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes. You know, Dr. Nuruddin, you know, Allah has blessed the Greensboro community there, but he's also blessed the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, because the way I see it, Dr. Nuruddin, whatever success happens there for the WDM Islamic Community Center, that is also a success for us as a community. It's a blessing for us as a community to have our beloved leader's name on that and the functionality. So if you would, Dr. Nuruddin, you don't need any introduction. Everybody know who you are. But could you talk about this WD Muhammad Islamic Community Center in terms of what it is that you are looking at doing with it and all, quite a bit of property. I mean, I would say not only property but land, in addition to the property that you have assessed, what would be happening there?
Well, quite a bit, Mark, and thanks again on behalf of all of us for this invitation to be here with you this evening. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Allah's mercy and peace be upon him, spent quite a bit of his time in the state of North Carolina, all over the state of North Carolina, and many of the universities and college campuses here in the state of North Carolina. And from 1998 on into 2002, I chaired the monitoring team here for the community. Imam set it up, and I was the chairperson of it. Amatullah Yamini was also a part of that board, along with A.K. Hassan, David K. Hassan, Omar Shahid, and Dr. Maryam Saluki. And for 4 years straight, twice a year, we used to pull together the professional people of the community, all the professions, lawyers, doctors, media people, you name it, plumbers, we organized all those professional people, brought them to the table, and we were having brainstorming sessions here in Kernersville, which is about 18 miles from here. And so several years ago, Amatullah Yamini relocated, came into Greensboro. When she came into Greensboro, I knew right then. I had already been here for well over a decade or better. But I knew right then when she got here that we were going to do something big in this city. And I didn't know exactly what it was going to be, but I knew we were going to do something big in this city. And ultimately, long story short, she and Sister Janaki and a couple other sisters, Connie, my wife, and a couple other sisters got together and started looking at how do we bring dignity to the W.D. Muhammad Islamic community here in Greensboro, because we weren't really settled at that particular point. Trying to find a place to pray and so on and so forth. And long story short, this building comes into view. Matulah's experience with housing, she knew what to do. The grace of God, the mercy of God, God's blessing, leading us, guiding us, she picks this thing up and wouldn't let it go. And start asking for help. That's what she did. She started asking for help, and Allah blessed her with it. And now here we are. Look, 32,000 square feet now. We've got plots of land, too, that's undeveloped that we can build on. We don't just have this complex. This is a complex. When we say 32,000 square feet, this is a complex. Classrooms, school classrooms, huge musala, two kitchens, bathrooms everywhere. Look, this place is a jewel. And it was a blessing from God. And every time I think about it, it was a prize. It was a prize.
I can tell in your voice, Billy, man, I'm Dr. Nurudin, that you are really excited and you're really inspiring me, and I'm quite sure you're inspiring.
I'm gonna keep inspiring you, Mark. Hold it, because this is one of the this is one of the finest buildings in the city. This is one of the finest buildings in the city. And look, with just a little help that we've had from community people, as well as our own membership, you'll be surprised where we've come from since December 2018. So while we're saying, look, we're just saying we're asking community right now. Look, if y'all stand us up, we can do the rest. Help us get up, we can do the rest of it. And we can do basically with nothing. This is what our mothers and our grandmothers and our grandfathers taught us, how to make something happen with nothing. And only the faith and the trust in God. That's what we have. That's what's causing this whole thing to move. So we're looking to raise $1 million here. We're not looking to come out here. We got a piece of property worth $1.7 million. $1.7 million.
All
right, and God is for still. Imagine not telling the rest of it. You ain't told them all how you got this building. They wanted $400,000. Where'd you end up in that too much?
Rashid Salam, my engineer, I'm hearing some background noise.
Mark, hold it. Let your audience hear this. Yeah, because they need to hear this. That's why I gave it back to her. Not too long. What happened?
The process of how it happened. Well, I tell you, we negotiated with the Methodist Church. The Western District conglomerate of Methodist churches, we negotiated a price of $325, and so then when the tornado hit, we told them we can't give you that kind of money. The tornado hit, they reduced the price to $180,000. And then, brother, they gave us another $40,000 to put a roof on the Musala side. And they said, we have never given a loan to anyone, and they weren't going to give it to us until we sent them Imam Muhammad's profile. That when we sent his profile, they knew who we were, and they gave us the loan.
This is a Methodist church. They said, what did they tell you? They wanted us to have this property.
They said, we want you all to have this property. We ask you all, God, to bless you all with this property. That they had never loaned to anyone.
What?
But their board of trustees said to let us have this property.
So, Sister Matala and Dr. Nurudin, it goes without saying, that this is truly, truly, truly a blessing from Almighty God, Allah, and a tribute to our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And what it is that this concept or idea that Allah has blessed Fitcher with, and then you all accepting this and the participants, I know many of them, they are just elated at the opportunity to help I want to say to the radio listening audience, you want to make sure that this event is actually going to be virtual, but you're going to have an opportunity to get a lot of history in terms of stories, the interaction with our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I want to encourage you to make a donation, a contribution with the means that you have. This is historic. And I know, I'm on fixed income, but I'm going to be making a donation, so I'm going to encourage you to make a donation. There's no way on God's green earth that we should not be contributing. We see the Muslims there in Greensboro as the Muslims we see in St. Louis. I'm going to put it in our announcements and ask the community to make contributions. We should be putting it in all of the messages, all the Islamic centers, making all the contacts we can. We want them to listen in. And
Mark,
I just had last week my... Yes.
Mark, I want to just, because you're asking people to make a donation, and we are very, very grateful for that, I just wanted to say that people can register by going
to register, yes.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to get back with you, Fitcher, in terms of the registration. We're going to come to the registration. The registration is free, you all, that you're listening out there. If you got any questions, let me say this, Dr. Nuruddin, I'm going to come right back to you. If you got any questions or you got any comments that you'd like to make, this is the time. I got three persons there that you can ask the question to or make comments or what. You need to press 1 now. Press 1, and Rashid, please alert me if there's some in the queue that want to ask a question or comment. Dr. Nuruddin, you want to say something. Go ahead, Doc.
No.
I want to tell Dr. Nuruddin, I want people to know how to register.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the registration. So, Fitra, go ahead and disseminate that information if you would.
It's very important that we repeat this registration information so we can get as many to register as possible and learn this history. So they can go to Eventbrite and put in a fundraiser, share a story. And the flyer will list all of our speakers and give them background information on Greensboro. So I just want to make sure that we continue to repeat that. Go to Eventbrite, put in fundraiser, share a story, and they will be able to register and join us on August the 21st. Dr. Nuruddin, I apologize. Please go ahead.
No, that's okay. Let me also, Doc, before you go, let me also want to add to that. This is on September the 21st. August.
August 21st.
Let's make sure we get that right. August the 21st.
Yes.
Those who are in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, this is going to be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So if you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 3 hours. Of a lot of valuable information that you're going to be receiving from many, many people in this community that you actually know. If you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, the Midwest, like where I'm at here in the STL, it is going to be from 5 to 8 our time, 5 to 8
exactly.
our time. And then if you're out west, you Pacific Coast, I'm out there with Imam Fahim Shuaib. It is going to be from 3 to 6. 3 to 6 if you out on the West Coast. So make sure that you jot that down because we don't want you to miss it. Oftentimes things are given just in Eastern Standard Time. That is prime time in this country, but everybody is not Eastern Standard Time. So once again, you understand? It would be 6 to 9 Eastern, 5 to 8 Central, and 3 to 6 Pacific Coast time. Yes, ma'am.
And, Mark, we're not just going to hear stories, but our host, Preacher Moss, he promises to make us laugh along the way. Preacher Moss will be hosting
the program. I just had him here on last week, and I did talk to him personally. He said, we'll see. And we already know the preacher Moss always have some of his sleeves, and he don't wear short sleeves. So I would advise you to tune in. Anything that preacher Moss does, you know, it's an attraction in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
So he will be the host, and he will be facilitating that with all. And when you go to that website, I'm going to have Fitcher to give it again in a few minutes. When you go to that website, you'll be privileged, even on Study Out of Psalm, to see the litany of people. It's just amazing that we'll be sharing stories and all. And I had Preacher Moss, I said, well, there won't be any gonging, will it? He said, well, you have to wait and see, you know. But anyway, you know Preacher Moss. So, but anyway, Rashid Salam, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up? I want to ask a question or make a comment before we go back to our panel here. Rashid?
Nobody's in the queue right now with their hands up, Mark. We're clear.
Okay. All right. So, Dr. Nuruddin, we was talking to you about the vision that you all have there, and you're looking at one to raise $1 million in terms of for the complete the renovation. Are you actually the building is functional now? You're in the building, or what? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, man. No, we're in there. We're in there for Dilma. We're in there for prayers. People are renting space out for function. We're
mm-hmm.
functional at this particular point. We just have to, you know, just upgrade a few things in the property. But for all practical purposes, we're functional. Here's the thing. The man told us, said, look, you need to work together and you need to help one another. Work together and you need to help one another. If you do that, then you can be successful. If you're not worried about who's going to get some recognition or who's going to get the credit, then we know how that situation goes. If you're worrying about that, nothing is going to happen at all. But here's the thing he said. Now, we know he was talking to you, but he was really talking to all of us, and it has to start in this generation. He says, give me a good life. Give me a good future. That's what he was asking us for, because he knew what he left us with. He knew what he gave us. And it is a pearl of great price, as the scripture says. It's a pearl of great price. You don't find this type of tafsir from everyday people that we got from the air. All of these keys to these locks in the scripture that he left with us, that he gave to us, all that was designed to empower us and give us our liberty and give us our freedom. That's what it was designed to do behind the life of Muhammad, the Prophet, the prayers, and the peace be upon him. So we're in a special place. We're unique people. We're new people here on the globe. And this is the youngest Muslim community on the globe today. This is the last continent for the development of Al-Islam. And you and I, we've been chosen, indigenous, African-American. We've been chosen with this. And we got, and the world is looking at us. World is looking at us right now. And I can tell you right now, that right along with your help, the world's going to help us too. So we're asking God to bless us,
Well, you know, Dr. Nuruddin, just to attest to what our beloved sister Amatala, you know, said, and she really put emphasis on the Methodist people in selling this building and even in being fair and reducing the price and all of that, even the $40,000 for to put a new roof on and all of this, this is actually saying, and just to know that we indigenous Muslims
Hold on, Mark, before you go somewhere. Now, they knew, they had heard of W. Muhammad's community, but they bought a Matula because he was who they saw. They didn't see me. They didn't see nobody else. They saw her. They bought her. She negotiated this situation, and they saw her sincerity. They saw her honesty. They saw her decency. They recognized that, and they knew if we had this property, we would go take care of it like it should be taken care of. It was going to stay a religious institution. It was already a religious institution. So we're coming into a religious institution. It was already a religious institution. It's going to stay a religious institution. And you people are good people. Otherwise, they're
yes,
saying, no, we
yes,
don't
yes.
We're going to wait till some Christians want it. We're going to make sure they – that's not what they said. They said, no, we want y'all to have it. We're going to reduce the price and give you some money.
Boy,
say,
yeah.
How do you
what a blessing.
If that ain't what I was doing.
Can
yes.
I share something? Can I share something?
Yes, yes, yes. Most certainly, Sister Manuela, yes.
I want your listening audience to know that we're looking for, we're setting up a history room and a library room, two separate rooms. And we want to be able so our children and grandchildren across this country can see where we come from the Nation of Islam all the way up to where we are now. So we've got so far an FOI uniform. We're looking for an MGT uniform. They'll be encased in glass cabinets. We're looking for books. We're looking for literature or anything that the community would like to donate to the museum so our children can see who we were and what we did. Even Preacher Moss said he's going to donate a hat and a bow tie symbolizing who he is. And so this is the spirit that we're looking for that museum and library.
You know, I'm so glad, Sister Yamini, that you said that. So hopefully if somebody out there, you know, if you were in that first experience like I was, that you have something. You understand that you want to make a donation, it would be there, you understand, preserved. They're in that museum. You know, as you heard Preacher Moss, a hat and a bow tie, you know. So just think about it. It's an opportunity. This is historic. This is history-making for our community and all. You know, I want to either go to you or Sister Yamini or back to Fitcher. I want to give Fitcher opportunity to disseminate that information again. But then I also want IWDM radio listening audience to actually hear some of the names of the persons that will be participating in this this historic event come August the 21st. So, Fitcher, why don't you give us that information. How can we get the people registered just in case they miss it? I want to say get a pen and pad, take the information down, let's get registered, do it. I mean, don't wait, don't hesitate, don't deliberate, don't procrastinate. Let's get it done, get registered, you know, because you don't want to miss it. Don't get it secondhand and have a sister telling you, girl, you missed this, brother, you missed it.
You
know, Fitcher, how do we get registered?
Yeah, so the listening audience can go to Eventbrite, and once they get to the site of Eventbrite, they put in fundraiser, share a story, and the flyer with all of the background information and the ability to register is there. And I just want to name some of our featured speakers.
Okay, go ahead.
Of course, as I said, Preacher Moss is going to be our host. We have Imam Abu Qadir Al-Amin from the West Coast. We have one of our oldest imams, Imam Abdul Karim Hassan from the West Coast. We have our intergenerational leader, Anissa Dewan. We have Aisha Mustafa from Muslim Journal. We have Amir Imam Bashir Ali of the National Conveners. We have Abdul Rahman Karim. We have Clyde El-Amin, who worked very closely with Imam Muhammad. We have Fahim Shuaib. We have Kamila Ali, the former wife of our beloved Muhammad Ali. We have Imam Mikhail Zahir, who wrote the book, The Man Behind the Man. Dr. Abdel Nuruddin. Muhammad. We have one of our intergenerational leaders, your teacher, one of our teachers, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman.
Hello, Akbar.
We have our business people, Malik Rasul and Omar Kareem, Imam Talib Sharif, Imam Wazir, Dr. Nasser, and Imam Yahya Abdullah. And your beloved Sister Fitra Muhammad will give the opening to the program. So I hope that you will join us at 6 o'clock sharp Eastern Standard Time. You go to Eventbrite. You put in fundraiser, share a story, and you can register.
You can register
let me,
there.
Let me dovetail on that, Mark, because Imam Rano Shahid also accepted the invitation to be one of the speakers, but his schedule would not allow him to. And he got back to me, and he said, Dr. Nurdin, he said, look, I'm sorry, I cannot make this thing. He said, but tell me where I can give a donation. Tell me where I can donation.
Well, that's we are hoping and praying, and I believe that the believers will come through, that they will be generous in their donations. Allah is the best knower in regards to this. But this is an opportunity to get some unheard history. It's unheard history. Some of the history, if we've been in the community for a long time, 50 plus, I know Fitcher have been in the community for a long, long time too. Dr. Nuruddin's been in the community for a long, long time. I know that. Persons that's been named on there have been in the community for a long time, and they've had numerous interaction with our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, traveling with him, working with him. So I know it's going to be outstanding. And they're only going to have a certain amount of time in terms of they have to choose probably their best story, because for some it's multiple stories. But the fact of the matter is that many of these persons that we actually know. So this is going to be historic. I would advise you, if you can get recordings of it or whatever, in that regard, to do that. Bring your pen and pad and all of that. And then after it's all said and done, then, get your checkbook out, write a check, you understand, and send it so that will become a contribution or donation. Part of helping to reach the goal, and then as the sister Yamini has said, that anybody that may have something, Dr. Nuruddin, you have anything that's historic, that from the Nation of Islam, they want to make a donation to the museum, then you have opportunity to do that. So with that being said, all those names, I'm like, all of these people. I know all of these people. Imam Padir out there in San Francisco, Sharif, Imam Talib there in the Nation's Mosque, and of course Imam Fahim Shuai will be joining me tomorrow here on IWDM Radio on the Courtship and Marriage Money Lab. So these are my friends, and I know, and they're going to be making donations. And so I don't care whoever you are, if you're listening, you understand, be a part of history, to be able to say, I made a donation, I made a contribution, for the W.D. Muhammad Islamic Community Center there in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's our community center. And I know, just like Fitcher, was welcomed was greeted with warmth and appreciation there in the South. But they can get to you. Now, Ronald B. Shaheed, he is a recruiter. He tried to recruit me when I was there in the Queen City of Charlotte. So that's what they do in the South. When you go to Atlanta, they think that everybody's supposed to be in Atlanta. Ma'am.
Can you please, Sister Yamini, can you give them the website of the WDMIC Islamic Center so they can go directly to the website and make a donation?
Yes.
You don't have to wait to register.
You have to wait. No, you can go ahead and make the donation. So, Sister Yamini, got that information? Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm gonna give that to you now. But before I give that to you, I just want to say that I came in this community in 1973. So,
okay.
Yeah, myself, alhamdulillah. Okay, so now.
Well, I didn't know that, but so I didn't want to leave you out.
Okay.
So you'd be considered a pioneer, too. Alhamdulillah.
Let's get the website. Let's get the website. Website.
I'm going
to
give
that
to you right now.
So people can make the donations. Okay.
So it's W.D. Mohammed, MOHAMMED. And then ic.org. I'll give it to you again.
Please.
W.D. Mohammed, MOHAMMED, ic.org. I as in Apple, I as in India, C as in Charles.org.
And people can go there right now and make a donation.
Right now. Yeah.
Okay.
And as soon as you get on the site, you scroll a little bit, the flyer will come up. You'll see all the information, and you can donate right now.
Yeah.
Do that one more time, Sister Yamini. Do that one more time.
Yeah. So that's W and then D, like David, Mohammed, M-O-H. AMMED, I as in Ida, C as in Charles, .org.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I want to say that whatever it is that you give, Allah will bless you for it. Nothing too big and nothing too small. I know that the community will appreciate it, all that is being sent. In the way of helping for the renovation of the W.D. Mohammed Islamic Community Center there in Greensboro. So, Rashid, any callers in the queue, anybody with hands up, or what, they're just taking it all in? So we're making sure that the information gets out to them. And as we get close here to the top of the hour before we sign off, I want to go around the table here on the MGM roundtable to give each one some closing remarks. I want to give Fitcher once again opportunity to disseminate the information in terms for the registration. Very, very important. And also, Fitcher, I'd like for you to give them the website to the Study Al-Islam, whereas that they, I know they can go on there if they didn't get all the persons that will be participating in this special event, August the 21st, they'll be able to get their names and all. And I want to just advise those of you listening, your local masajids and Islamic centers and association with Imam W.D. Muhammad, let's make sure that we inform them. Many of them do not listen to Blog Talk Radio, so they have an opportunity. We want everybody to know that they have an opportunity, so don't fail in terms of making some type of contribution. There, no contribution is too small, you know. So let's make sure we do that. So, Fitcher, if you would please, any closing comments that you may have, but even more so, the registration, how to register, also giving the information on the website for Study Al-Islam, they can get even more information on that. Fitcher?
Yes, so go to Eventbrite for the August 21st event. Share a story about Imam Muhammad. May he be in the highest place in paradise. You can go to Eventbrite and put in fundraiser, share a story, and you can register. This event is going to be monumental, historic. We're going to laugh and cry. We're going to reminisce. We're going to hear some very personal stories shared by people who traveled with Imam Muhammad, who socialized with Imam Muhammad, who went to the movies with Imam Muhammad. We're going to hear from friends and family. So this is an event, and what I want to say about the Greensboro community, and I don't want you to miss this. This is a very small, dedicated, big heart, a group of sisters mainly. And, of course, we have our wonderful brother, Dr. Nuruddin, and Abdel and David Hassan, who are all in the North Carolina area. But this is a retreat center, a center where you can hold your next reunion, your next organizational retreat. This is the center that I hope that we're going to have our community a family reunion that Imam Wazir keeps asking for. This is a center where you can meet. They have classrooms, ample space for prayer. They have a huge social banquet hall. This community center belongs to the community. These sisters are just the khalifas. They're the custodians. They're taking care of it for you. But this is our center. And
that's
so
right.
Please donate. Please donate to this center and help this center become a premier location, facility, destination for your next event in this community. And as far as Study Al-Islam, go to studyalislam.com. We welcome you every Sunday to hear from our scholars on Islamic topics, studies. And I'm so grateful to you, Mark, for your dedication, for your sincerity, for your support of Study Al-Islam for this program. And may Allah protect you and those of all of those who help you to in the service that you do for this community.
Yes, and thank you, too, Fitri and Muhammad. We really thank and appreciate you as being one of the jewels in our community, and I think it's so very, very important that we actually acknowledge and recognize, as Imam Muhammad said to us many years ago in teaching us about Arafat. He said, yes, Arafat means to get to know and become acquainted. But he said Arafat also means to recognize, and to recognize the good we have any have that, that we see in each other. Imam Muhammad really emphasized that. And, you know, just want to just say this before I go to our beloved sister, Sister Yamini, is that it wasn't that I planned 2 weeks before our beloved leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad transition. I was part of the national security team, and we were in Detroit at Cobo Hall, the last convention that Imam Muhammad did, and I was with a pioneering brother that's now in a nursing home. Imam Abdul Mukman was my traveling brother for many, many years, and we traveled across the country, and he said, look who's coming. And I turned and looked, and here was Imam W.D. Muhammad, his wife, Khadija Sadiq Muhammad, long-time traveling partner with him, Brother Rafi, and the head of security at that time, Brother Zambezi, who has since transitioned and lived in Florida. And so we was flying Southwest, and those who fly Southwest, you know, you don't have any particular seating, but we were some of the last ones to get on, and we wound up at the back of the plane, close to where the bathroom was. I sat in front of the imam along with the pioneer brother, and Brother Zambezi sat behind the imam, as always, in terms of security, always somebody sat behind, and Brother Rafi sat across the aisle. And so when he got off the plane, he was in Chicago, and we had a connecting flight from Chicago back to the STL, St. Louis. And so I hugged Brother Imam, and I said, Brother Imam, I said, I love you, and I appreciate all of this that you do for us. Mm-hmm. And he responded back to me. He said, yes, and I love you, and I appreciate all of this that you do for us. And he was speaking to myself and also Imam Abdul Mukman. And once when he found out how long he had been in the community, like 60 plus years, Imam Muhammad had a ring on that his father had given to him. And he took that ring and gave it to the brother and everything. One of the things we need to know about Imam Muhammad, he was very, very generous. A lot of people don't know that, but he was very generous. So a lot of stories could be told in terms of his generosity. But the last thing I said to my beloved leader 2 weeks before he transitioned was that I love you, Brother Imam, and I appreciate you. And he responded back the same, and he said, and I'll see you soon. As-salamu alaykum. So this is, and that's the same thing that I said to my mother, you see, that I love her. So I'm only saying that to say to all of us that are listening as Muslims, anytime you have an opportunity to say to another community member, and especially those who are working hard, do you understand, to establish the community life that Imam W.D. Muhammad wanted us to establish, and give him a good place in this life. He won't physically be here, but we all represent Imam W.D. Muhammad. We should do that. Do not fail to do that. Make a donation, make a contribution, and please register. You know, please register. I just have to say that. Sister Yamini, I want to give you a couple of minutes to you. Any closing remarks or anything that you want to leave? Matter of fact, you give that information, how people can start. They don't have to wait to start donating. I mean, you can start accepting money tonight, tomorrow, the end of the week,
now,
or whatever,
right,
all the way up until that time
right
and
now.
So, Sister Yamini, please.
Yes, sir, you could do it right now. And first of all, Sister Fisher said it all, and go to W.D. Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, then I as in Ida, C as in Charles, .org. That's our website. I'll give it to you again, W.D. Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, I as in Ida, C as in Charles, .org. And you will see the flyer, and you'll be able to donate right there, right now.
Yes,
alhamdulillah. And you can register as well. You can register as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So that's another place where you can register, and you can begin to start donating. So thank you so much, Sister Yamini. And last but not least, my brother and friend, Dr. Nuruddin, you got a couple of minutes. What you want to leave the radio listening audience with, Doc?
Well, first of all, I am very, very excited. And I'm excited because we're winning. We're winning. And the reason why we're winning here in Greensboro is because we're functioning as a team, because we're working with one another and we're cooperating with one another. That's why we're winning. We're not a large community.
Yes.
But because we work together, it makes up that difference in the numbers. And that's what's causing this to happen. If our resident imam was here, Imam Hassan Yamini, I'm sure the good things that I said here this evening, he surely would have said them. And he sends you his greetings and looking forward to you all coming into Greensboro. Look, that's a great place for you to move to. I'm telling you. The future is very, very bright. Mark, this is a great place
you're
for you to move to.
You're recurring too,
Dr. Newman. All right. Come on in to North Carolina. I'm telling you, we got something for you. And tomorrow is going to be brighter and better. It's getting bigger. We're talking about enterprise, y'all, and commerce in here. Single citizens
yes,
housing. We're talking about condos. I'm talking about storefront. I'm serious. We are serious. We're talking about serious enterprise in here. Millions and millions of dollars worth of growth in this city is going to take place. God has favored us. He blessed us. He even gave us the sign. He showed it to you. He even gave you a prize. Oh, now can you hold it? Now can you keep it? Now can you develop it? That's the challenge that's in front of us at this particular point. But our faith is strong. Our faith is strong. Our belief is strong. And we trust that God is going. He brought us this far. We don't see him leaving us at this particular point. So I want to thank you again, Mark, for giving us this opportunity to talk to your audience and share this with them. Before we leave, let me say this to everybody on the line. Not only do we want you to help us and donate. We want you to send that flyer out to your friends, your relatives,
right,
your associates. We wanted you to put it on your newsletter. We want you to put it on your mailing list. Send it as far as you can send it. And when you send that one out, ask the person that you're sending it to give you some help. Ask them to send it to somebody.
That's,
we want to saturate this entire community, saturate this whole country if we can, but we know we're going international. We need your help to do it.
That's right. Well said. Yeah, so that flyer that Fitcher was talking about, Fitcher, how did they get that flyer? They can get that off of Study Al Islam, am I correct?
Yeah.
She might have. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
You get off of Study Al Islam. I would be remiss if I didn't have my engineer, co-host Rashid Salam. You have something that you'd like to say to the believers before we sign off, Rashid?
Yes, sir. I just want to my brother convener, Brother Abdul Nuruddin, to mention, I know it's kind of out of line, but the conveners of Imams are having this community development and leadership webinar. I just want him to just say a little bit about it, just to add a little period to the end of the sentence. So I think that's appropriate for those who are on the line. They may not know this, but at the same time, I think it's just appropriate to say something about it since we're on the air.
No, that's fine. No, it's good. This community is on the move. This community is on the move. It's like back to back. We got to continue to support. And, of course, I've had Imam Dr. Bashir Ali on. He mentioned it then, but we'll see about trying to get him back on the MGM Roundtable before that actually happens next month in September. I'm very much aware of that. So I will be using this roundtable for things that are happening that are noteworthy in this community, keeping you alert to what's going on. And I want to just say to all three of you, I've really been honored to have you on and to provide this platform, as an opportunity to disseminate the information. I will be making a donation myself, and I'm also encouraging everybody out there, whether it's big, small, accept it all. Allah is the best knower. But give something. You feel, I always feel good when I give something. That's a good feeling. I know what it is. It's better to give than to receive. You feel good when you give something. You say you want to serve Allah. Allah needs nothing from us. When we serve Allah, we're going to be serving human beings, and we're going to be serving good human beings, you understand, that are God conscious, that understand what God's purpose is for us here on life and what it is that Allah has blessed us with, such a leader such as Imam W.D. Muhammad. Anything that his name is on, we should be one to support it. Give Imam Muhammad, as he asked and requests us, a good life. The W.D. Muhammad Islamic Community Center, I'm going to look forward to coming there one day and actually visit it,
Let me answer the question from your producer, one of your producers working there with you, relevant to September 11th and 12th. Now, we met last night. We must have had, let me say this also to everybody on the line. There were so many people in this community that has had a good relationship with the Imam and conversations with the Imam and stories about the Imam. We just couldn't do it all. We would have been all night. I mean, because, look, people love the Imam. The Imam loved this community, and he shared everything that he could with people. So look at what's going to happen here now. Now, annually, what the conveners would do, and we're in seven sections. Many of you all know we're in seven sections around the country. Annually, we have a national conference. And every year, it's basically for Imams and their wives. And for this year, what we said, this is what we're going to do this year. First of all, we're going to unveil and launch our educational program. The conveners have come up with an educational program that we will be sharing with the community. Yeah. But in addition to that, we've asked various organizations and institutions to be a part of what we're going to do this year. They're going to be making presentations. So you're going to find out really what the health community is doing. You're going to find out what the American Coalition for Good Government is doing. You don't really know what the journal is doing. They're going to share goals with you and objectives in terms of where they're going. This community is not asleep, nor is it dead. This community is alive. And people are working every day, and we're coming together. So what you're going to see on the 11th and the 12th of September, believe me, is going to send a message to your mind that we're in good hands. That we're in God's
hands.
He's watching over us. He has his hand on this community. And we're growing, and we're going to continue to grow. So please make sure, in addition to your support for us here in Greensboro, with this project, make sure you're on the line. Make sure you're on the line that day for the 11th and the 12th of September for this huge report that we're going to give to the community on the things that we've been doing. It's going to be
wonderful. You know what, I thank you, Dr. Nuruddin, for emphasizing that, and I'm going to be giving my good friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, a call, and I'm going to see if I can get him squared in. Once again, just prior to that, to disseminate that information, the time and everything and how they can get registered and also they can be a part of that. It's being opened up this year. And as Dr. Nuruddin said, past years, it's been for imams and leaders. It has expanded to leaders, their wives and all can accompany them, but this year it's going to be open up to the whole of the community, and they have something to present. They have an outstanding website, the IWDM website. So we'll get Imam Dr. Bashir Ali and maybe some other people he can bring along, you understand, just before this event happens, that happened next month, the 11th and the 12th, and all. But you don't want to get information secondhand. That's never a good thing to do. Be there present yourself. This is going to be a virtual thing, and you can tune in and listen in and get that information. I want to thank you so much, my good sister, Amatullah Yamini, and Imam Dr. Abdul J. Nuruddin and Fetcher Muhammad. She probably has departed. But I want to thank all of you for the valuable contributions that y'all have made in this community for so many years. And we also accept the dua prayers, you know, from all of you. Let's make dua for our brothers and sisters there in Greensboro, that they'll reach their goal. And that Allah will bless them, be successful with this, and that the future generations will appreciate it, maintain it, sustain it for generations to come, and let the people know, you understand, that our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, is live and well in this community that he has raised up. So once again, thank you so much. And I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in, listening in. I want to thank my very distinguished, esteemed engineer, Rashid Salam, is always doing an excellent
Rashid
professional
Salam.
Job.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I love that Zoom call yesterday. I was on that Zoom call yesterday.
And in terms of Rashid Salam is doing some outstanding work and being, you know, in terms of Graceline Credit Union, they're working on this. I mean, like Dr. Nuruddin is saying, this community is coming together. So I hope you open your eyes up. All you naysayers out there, open your eyes up and start looking.
Open your
ears up and start listening. Open your heart up
open
and have
your
intentions and motivations to say, I want to be a part of this. We are making history. What side of history are you going to be on? So with that, I want to say to both of you, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. So, alhamdulillah, there you have it. This is the MGM Roundtable. A very distinguished, esteemed guest, Amatullah Yamini, my beloved sister, Fitri Muhammad, and also my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Abdul J. Nuruddin, join me here on the Muslim Global Message. I do ask that you do get registered. The registration is free. That don't cost you anything. I want you to tune in. My good brother and friend, comedian, entertainer extraordinaire, national, international entertainer, Preacher Moss will be hosting and facilitating that. So you're going to be getting some laughs, undoubtedly. And who knows what type of stories you hear. So you'll be able to probably know some things that you just wouldn't know. So you want to really be there come the 21st of August, and you want to leave some type of donation to help our Muslim community there in Greensboro, North Carolina. And so before we depart, we want to also remind you that tomorrow here on IWDM is the Sister Learning Lab with Quran Shakir down in the Jewel of the South, the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And come Friday, you can tune in for the Salatu Juma with my good brother and friend, Brother Mikhail Sahir, Anur Allah Islamic Center, and that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Salatu Juma. And also, come back Sunday for Words Make People once again with the very distinguished, esteemed host. Email Michael Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. And that begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And so, of course, every Wednesday, it's the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean. And Nadja Abdul-Tawab is my co-host and co-facilitator here each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And just want to remind you tomorrow, very special guest, get the word out, one of our scholarly, very learned imams, longtime resident imam there in Oakland, California, Imam Fahim Shoaib, a massive word dean, will be joining Quran and myself here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So you don't want to miss that. And we will be engaging him on the commentary of the outstanding publication by our beloved Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid on Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. So you don't want to miss that. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. And we're done.